If we let him, that's it. All right. All right, let's turn to 2 Peter 1 and get back to where we were last Sunday in talking about the stature, not a statue. Statue is something that's solid and can't be moved. This thing, God has always wanted to take out the stony heart, like he said in Ezekiel, take the stony heart out. Why? You can't take a stone. Once that heart of stone is set, you can't do anything with it. It's just there forever. But if you take a heart of flesh, when he says, I put a heart of flesh in. See, flesh is pliable, so he can work with it. Clay is pliable. He can use it. He can work with it. All right? 2 Peter 1, 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertaineth unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding, not just little, exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. So there's your way in. Right? There's your way into the divine nature of God. What? Bob turned it on. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness. All right? If it gets hot in here, turn the fans on. It's beginning to get that kind of weather. And there's a lot of people in here too, so. But now, we were talking about patience. Patience means be enduring, continuance, waiting, constancy, steadfast. See, that's what I look at. I look at somebody's, and you know, you say, well, you don't judge people's life. Well, it's like Dad said, he does have to throw the first stone. We do as ministers judge. Because that's what you did. You took things to the priest in the Old Testament and they judged it, right? So it shouldn't be something that we, you know, have a problem with. If you, my goodness gracious. Hey, Katie, come up here and sit in front so we can get your picture. Hope you've been here forever, sorry. Here, come stand right here. Stand. Look right here. Look right here. Look. Hey! How you doing, girl? Good to see you. You said you were coming to see us. You thought you were lying. Okay. Now, if those of you don't know this, her name is Miss Katie. Sister Katie. And she's from Brother Homer Longora's church. She's a wonderful girl. Well, I do. That's her niece, yeah. Like her, yeah. You really do. Yep, sure do. So she comes from Brother Homer's church coming to visit, so that's wonderful. Good to have you with us. All right, now, what we were talking about was what we look at as ministers. We look at the consistency. We look at the perseverance of a person. Because like we've already said, taking Hank and his wife for an example, I've seen people come in here, and this, you have too. This is the greatest thing since sliced bread. This is the most wonderful message. This is the most wonderful this, the most wonderful that. 6 months later, they're gone. So it really didn't, they got caught up in the shout in the voice. They got caught up in the shout in the trumpet, but they never became the shout or the trumpet. And God was maybe on them, but not in them. Because God can anoint you. God can anoint a sinner to do something. God works by law. He said, every seed bring forth of its kind. Well, sinners have kids just like we do as Christians. So God has to go by his law. And even when a sinner has faith, they get healed and they say, well, I must be of God. Well, no, that just means that you entered into a law that God said, if you'll believe what I said, I'll heal you. People were healed during the Beatles campaign. When the Beatles came over to the United States, well, they believed that those men could touch God. They had a perverted way of doing it, but they believed that. So when you have belief and faith, hey, listen, this was one I can't see. Brother Branham would say a prostitute. A whore that probably that Saturday night done her business. But Sunday when he was preaching and called a prayer line, they walked across the prayer line and they would get healed and a Christian come across the pulpit and lose their healing. Why? It was based on that prostitute said, I believe what that man said. And God healed him. A Christian walked up and said, I believe what that man said, but now I probably sinned today. Or I probably did this, or I got condemned. Her condemnation, or him, their condemnation is what kept them from getting healed. The prostitute, Brother Brown, wasn't condemning her for being a whore. He was trying to get her body healed. And then in turn, God could save her soul. And he's done that many times. Remember, I can't remember her name, but it's that girl he talks about all the time. She was a drunk. She was a prostitute. Now she's out testifying. Of course, that was back in the 60s. But see, God can wash you up. God can clean you. God can, you know, he can do that. But it's just a law that God goes by that he said, if you'll just believe me, I'll do it. All right? So Christian or non-Christian. But when we, like we were talking about in the book of Psalms, when that God resides in you, because, see, God can't dwell in an unclean vessel. You can't have God inside of you and the devil inside of you at the same time. All right, that resides. Now, you can have God in you and the devil will fight you. He will come and fight, but he cannot reside in there. In the Bible, in Matthew, it says that the unclean spirit goes out. Well, see, when you go through justification, when you go through sanctification, when you're going through your Christian journey, the unclean spirit's driven out of the man. Seeketh rest, findeth none, walketh in dry places. What? There is a demon. You're possessed by a demon. I don't care what your name is. There's demons that possess all of us. Brother Branham said diabetes is a demon, a blood-sucking demon. Now, whether you're a Christian or not, that has nothing to do with it. Okay? It's because a lot of people will say, well, because you're sick, it's because you're not of God. I ain't got one thing to do with it. You got to have faith. But God's healed the inside man first. So that unclean spirit leaves you, and you feel good. I did. I felt wonderful. I felt so empty and so... When I come out of that water and was baptized there in 1997 in December, or it was actually January, the water was cold as ice, but I was as warm as I could be. I didn't feel nothing but just total emptiness. Why? Something had come out of me. I had wanted to show the world that I had changed, or that God had changed me. All right? And then when you come to that, though, you keep going through life, and that's what happens to a lot of people. They come in here, or they go anywhere. They start going to church, and they feel good, and everything feels all right. And they do get the unclean spirit driven out of them. But remember, the Bible says you've got to fill it with something, or that unclean spirit's going to come back. And he's not going to come back alone. He's going to bring several of his buddies worse than he was. You know what worse is? It's not that if you had a drunk demon cast off of you, that you're going to be 8 times more drunk. No, he's going to bring his religious buddies this time. And he's going to make you feel religious. That's the religious ones that come. He brings his religious buddies and makes you feel religious. See, then all of a sudden, you see the people go away. You see people disappear. Well, see, they never got the Holy Ghost to fill that vessel. That unclean spirit's going to try to come back. But if it's filled with the Holy Ghost, it can't get in there. It can't get in that inner man. It can beat your memories and conscience and affection all to pieces. But it cannot get inside that man. So now that we have the Holy Ghost, and God is working in our life, not on our life, in our life, then we come to that, what we just read there in 2 Peter, is now we have a mandate from God not to just lay down. We have a mandate from God all over the scriptures that he wasn't going to stop giving you promises just because he gave you the divine nature of God. When he gave you the divine nature of God, now listen, you do have not two natures, but you do have a nature that bombards you, and that's your old you. Remember, it's dead, but remember, right up here is where we resurrect it. We bring it out of the closet. We let Satan do what he can do. Right? It's like Brother Gary Atkins said, which is a good point, there in Revelations 5, it says that this rider had a bow with no arrows. Well, we know that the prophet told us that was the devil, not Jesus. That's the devil, because he was typing after Christ. But who in the world would go hunting with just a bow and no arrows? Who in the world would go bear hunting with a gun and no bullets? You won't beat the thing to death. He'll kill you. But what we do is we give that dude a pile of arrows to shoot right back at us. We give him the ammunition to shoot at us because of the things we do in our human life. All right? So with this stature of a perfect man, we're not just trying to live a Christian life. We're trying to live an exemplary Christian life. Not perfect. You'll never be perfect. But the Bible says, be ye therefore perfect. So we must strive to that. And that word perfect means complete. Now, complete means that you have virtue, that you have knowledge, that you have temperance, that you have patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. That's what we're talking about. These are the virtues that work in your life, and they're required. They're required in this age to get us out of here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, right. Every one of these virtues are from God. Brother Branham said in the Statue of a Perfect Man, he said, there are people that have these virtues that are not born again. I mean, you see people with a lot of patience, but it's not godly patience. Because somewhere they're going to fall off. Somewhere you'll fall off. Even as a Christian, somewhere you're going to fall off. Brother Branham, he'll say, you got up this far, and you fall off. You get up this far and you fall. Well, you know what? That's God showing you, though, that if you're three rungs up on a ladder, you're not going to fall all the way to the bottom. You just don't have the temperance you need. So that's where you need to work on. But you know what? Don't just say, well, I'm going to keep having temperance until I get patience. No, it's all a blending. It's all a blending work of God. It's not something that, see, that's why I don't like those lines on that. Now, Brother Brown did this. He put the lines, but that's just reference lines. I wish they'd turn them this way. Because you got to have faith all the way up. You got to have virtue all the way up. You got to have knowledge all the way up. Temperance, patience, all the way up. You can't just say, well, now I got knowledge. I don't need it anymore. Now I need to work. It's not like a, it is a classroom thing, but it's not a classroom where you learn 1 + 1 = 2. And then 2 + 2 = 4. 4 + 4 = 8, and you keep going like that. But you do have to keep that as a basis, though, because you know what? There's only 10 numbers. Right? Nobody's saying amen. There's 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. There's no other numbers besides those. Hello? That's all. You combine them together to make billions and trillions, but there's only 10 numbers. And 0 is a number. I don't care what they tell you. You put a 0 on the end of a $10 bill, what you got? Hallelujah. Right? You put a 0 on the end of a $100 bill, what you got? Man. Yeah. Isn't that right? Huh? But you see what I mean? There's only 10 numbers. So that basis of learning those 10 numbers and then you combine them together, same way with faith. You have faith. Faith at the bottom of the pyramid. That faith's going to carry you all the way up to heaven. You're not going to lose that faith, or you're not going to come up to faith and be so full till you're running over with faith and there's no room for virtue. No, it's just a gradual, take what you got, put it together and go up. Take what you got, put it together and go up. Take what you got, put it together and go up. All right, so that's what God's doing, but you and I, look, in your patience, possess ye your souls. Your patience. Now listen, the prophet of God made a statement one time, and I really think it was God speaking to us. I know it was all God speaking to us, but he said, this is my eye. God, give it to me. So now it's mine. Now, he wasn't making an illustration just for filling up tape space purposes. God gives you something that's yours. So add to your patience, or in your patience. When you got patience, it's yours. When you get the Holy Ghost, sure, it come from God, but whose is it? It's yours. Because you're the one that works. See, God would just want you to just go all the way up to love when you get the new birth, but that's not true. He gives you that new birth, and then you work with it. You got something to do with this thing. And then, but you'll hear Brother Ram say you don't have anything to do with it. You got to watch what he's saying. What he's saying is God saw you make a choice before the foundation of the world. And you're going to come to that because that's what he saw. Well, you don't have a choice when it comes to that. But the reason you don't have a choice is because you made a choice. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? The reason you don't have a choice is God saw you make a choice. That's why he can preserve. I love that scripture where he says God's preserved us. You know what preserve means? Claude always told me this, and it really stuck home. You know what a cucumber is, right? Cucumber is a cucumber. But you take that cucumber, put it in something, and you make a pickle out of it. Still looks like a cucumber. Still acts like a cucumber to a degree. But it's now a pickle. There's no way it'll go back to a cucumber. It's always going to be a pickle because it's been put through a process. Well, that's the same thing with you and I. We go through a process. We go through a pickling process. So we're pickled. We're just a bunch of old cucumbers. We're just a bunch of old cucumbers. Being a cucumber is what you were born. That cucumber couldn't help itself be a cucumber. But through a pickling process, he become what he is now, and he can never reverse and go back to being a cucumber again. He's got to stay a pickle. The pride and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That would be closely related because it's almost the same number. Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. That's true. So think about that. Something else. See, you just keep, it's like an onion peel. You know, you just keep peeling the onion peel. Maybe they're just many layers of the message of the hour and the Bible. But we're never going to get through with patience if we don't have a little patience here. I want everybody pickled. That don't mean pickled like the world thinks pickled either. Used to we'd say if somebody was drunk, they were pickled. I want you drunk. I want you drunk on new wine, the Holy Ghost. You get drunk on that, see, you won't have to ever drink again. Because you get, it's like Brother Jewel Forney said, he said, man, when I used to get drunk, he said, white man, black man, it didn't matter. He said, we're just all friends. He said, when I get drunk on the Holy Ghost, he said, that's the same way. We're just all brothers. We're just all brothers and sisters. So, wine relaxes you. But we're not into that wine junk either, right? We take wine for communion. Okay. All right, listen, let's read this right here. Romans 5 and 3, right here. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. Phew. We glory, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. And it's not finished. And patience, experience. And experience, hope. So it's an ongoing process. It's something that we have to go through. You can't get around it, people. We got to learn to have patience. Because in your patience possess you your souls. Now, our soul is the most important thing. Amen? Whatever's in the soul is going to come out one of the way or the other. All right? Now, let's go over, let me skip some of this. All right, right here. No wonder the church is so short. This is Brother Branham in Statue of a Perfect Man. No wonder the church is so short. Isn't that right? No wonder. I'd say repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And a strict Trinitarian don't believe that, says that old Antichrist. He's a Jesus name. He's a Jesus only. Look out, boy. I don't know about your temperance right now. See? Why don't you come and say, let's reason this together, Brother Branham. I'd like to talk. I'd like to hear this explained, see? Then come down and listen to it, and then put it right before you, and then you walk away. Well, we'll get to that in just a few minutes in godliness, see. But when you fly loose, want to jump at every conclusion, that's not it. See, you haven't got Bible temperance yet when you do that. how to answer back. Then if you got all this, you can add this to your faith. Now here we're going fourthly. You want to add patience to your faith. If you've got faith, it worketh patience. The Bible said, see, so this is patience. Now that's the next thing is going to build this stature. You know, God has got real material in his building. See how short we are, brother, sister, see why? Where we're at? Yes, sir. See, we have glory. We have shouts and things because we got faith. But when we come down to these things here, God can't build us into that stature. See? He can't. He can't make us up to that kind of a place. We got all these other things. We fall, slide off with it. He can't build his church. Then he says, patience with what? What kind of patience? First thing is to have patience with God. First thing, patience with God. All right? If you've got real, genuine faith, you'll have real, genuine patience because faith worketh patience. When God says anything, you believe it. That's all. You got patience. Just believe it. All right? Because remember, Abraham, there's no way Abraham could produce a child at 100 years old. So he had to depend on God. So he just said, God, you said it. So you're going to have to do it. See, he tried to produce it later, earlier in his life. He could have children because he had an Ishmael. But once he got 100 years old and Sarah was 90, there was no way they were going to have kids unless God came on the scene and changed their body. So Abraham can't change his body. You and I can't change our body. We can bring our body under subjection. See, that's the key. You can bring your body under subjection because of what's inside of you. This is the control tower. Inside, the soul, the persona, the real you. All right? God told Abraham, 25 years later, there wasn't even one sign. Actually, it got worse. It's not that just that there was no sign. It got worse. If you know what I mean. He was still believing. He was patient with God, Put him always before you. Let him be the next crossing thing. You can't cross him, so just keep him before you. He said so, and it's going to happen. That's right. Noah had patience. Yep, Noah had real, godly patience. God said, I'm going to destroy the world with rain. Remember, people, it had never rained. It had never rained since the beginning of time. It's been 2,000 years since Adam to Noah. It had not rained one drop. All the water, read the Bible, the water was coming up out of the ground as a mist that kept everything watered. And then you had your rivers and all that. But there was no clouds. There was atmosphere, but there was no rain. There was nothing to produce rain. So here's Noah, and he preached for 120 years. The same message. It's going to rain. Plenty of patience, the prophet said. Not even dew fell from heaven. Wasn't nothing, just as dusty as it ever was for 120 years, but he was patient. Then God tries your patience. That's right, God tries them. After he told Noah, now Noah, I want you to go ahead and get in the ark. Remember, he went in the ark and God shut the door. Well, it was still 7 days he was in that ark before it started raining. All right, I'm going to run the animals in. I want you to get in. Climb way upstairs now so you can look out the top window. Now, I want you to get in there. I want you to tell these people tomorrow what I've been preaching for 120 years is going to take place. All right, you go down there and tell them. Then remember what happened. It didn't rain until the seventh day. But when you know what? It happened. It happened. The flood came, destroyed everybody but the 8 people in the ark. And for all of you information, June and I went and watched that new Noah movie last night. I wouldn't waste my time to go see it. It's not scriptural. It's a good drama. It's a good action movie. But as far as being scriptural, forget it. The only thing that was really scriptural about it is it started drizzling rain a little bit, but then the fountains of the deep, like the Bible says, there was these big plumes of water come shooting up out of the ground. Because that's what destroyed the earth. Surprise, surprise, 40 days of rain won't destroy the earth. Right? No. It didn't have, really, it just rained. The fountains of the deep opened up, the Bible says. There was aqueducts under the ground full of water. And God turned them thing off. Actually, you know what happened? Remember what the prophet said? Man destroys himself always. So I believe it was an atomic explosion. I believe because it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Well, if we're this advanced now, they were that advanced or more back then. I can see why that civilizations turned upside down and all, because God, they destroyed their self by either an atomic explosion or something went off and it caused those fountains to open up. And that's what filled the world with water, not 40 days and 40 nights of rain. And let me give you another secret. They weren't in the ark just 40 days either. They were in the ark a year, a month, and so many days. They were in there 13 months in that ark. Oh, you see? Okay. So we don't read our Bible right every once in a while. We read it when we hear the story of Noah and the flood and 40 days and it rained and then it quit and then they got out and then, you know, it ain't exactly all that went on. So anyway, but don't waste your time going to see it unless you just want to see an action movie. And got some pretty good points in it sometimes, but something to make you think, but still, I wouldn't go see it again ever. There's nothing wrong with it. I mean, we didn't have, there was no, you know, there's a little bit of violence, but they talked about the Creator and they talked about things, you know, they never called him God. They always called him a Creator and stuff like that. So, but, Noah had patience. This guy preached for 120 years. And there was no scientific evidence that it was going to happen. If they were as advanced then as we are now, I just said that, and that's what the Bible says. They were as advanced as we are here. Then they could shoot the stars, the moon, anywhere, and they could see there's no moisture nowhere except in the ground. Right. And here's Noah preaching against the whole scientific age that they were in. But remember, only 8 people made it. And one of them was the devil. Ham. Remember Ham, what Ham did? It's up there, yeah. There was just, right, there was just what he done. He just hid it all in the clouds and everything. They just didn't have anything to see any moisture that was going to, actually, you know what? They might have seen moisture, but they thought, this ain't going to destroy the world. If it rains a little bit, so what? Big deal. But they didn't know that what was under them was what was going to kill them. Same way with man now. What's under us is what's going to kill them. Got it? All right. I don't know how I got off on that, but. Mm-hmm. That's underneath, coming out. Yep. All right, remember. But if you ain't got that, no way, don't try to add it. In other words, he's talking about Noah. It won't work. It won't work on healing. It won't work on nothing else. It's got to blend in with the same material it's vulcanized to. That's right. Got to add it. Patience with God's promise. Yes, sir. Noah believed it, and he had patience with God 120 years. Moses had patience with God. Yes, sir. Moses, I've heard the cry of my people. Seen their affliction. I'm coming down to deliver. I'm going to send you down. And a little contrast there between him and God. God showed him his glory and said, here I go. When he once seen the glory of God, you see, he had faith. What's that in your hand, Moses? A stick. Throw it down. Turned into a serpent. Oh, my. Take it up, Moses. If I'm able to turn it to a snake, I can turn it back. Ah, Brother Bram claps his hand 3 times. Amen. If God can give me a natural life, he can give me a spiritual life. I believe you got a little revelation here, got a little happy. If God can give you the first birth, he can give you the second birth. Amen. If God can heal this by divine healing, he can raise it up. I'm sure he's pointing to this. If God can heal this by divine healing, he can raise it up again to his glory in the last days. Oh, my. Oh, that's right. Moses said, you know, when I laid it on that foundation, there was patience laid on there, so I'll just wait and see what God will do. There the old serpents was, crawling around, blowing, hissing at one another. First thing you know, Moses' serpent went, gulp, gulp, gulp. Remember, Jannes and Jambres threw their sticks down and turned them into serpents. But Moses' snake eat their snake. And you know what? Moses carried him around the whole time. He carried him 3 snakes around in his, or 2 snakes around in his cane the whole time he was... He took them to the promised land, or not the promised land, but he took them up to the door of the promised land. And wait on the Lord. Have patience. Yep. How about the Pentecostal people? Now, he's talking about the upper room. As long as they got the commission, wait until. Wait until you're endued with power. How long? They didn't have no question, how long will it be? They just got the answer, wait until. They went up there and said, all right, boys, maybe 15 minutes from now the Holy Spirit's going to be on us and we're going to have our ministry. 15 minutes passed, nobody. One day passed, 2 days, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Some of them might have said, hey, don't you think you already got it? No, 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 that's it. No, that's right. You better come on out, boys, the devil said. You know you already got what you want. Go in and start your ministry. Go on and start your ministry. No, we ain't got it yet. Because he said there will come what will take place in the last days, stammering lips and other tongues while I speak to this people. And this is the rest that I said, Isaiah 28:19. This is it. You'll get it when. Why? We'll know when it comes. We'll know when it comes. We'll know it. Promise of the Father. There he waited 9 days. And then on the 10th day, we were there. They had patience to wait. Now, if you've got that kind of patience after God gives you a promise, and you see it in the Bible, you've got to see it in the Bible. It's mine, then wait. Then if you've got the kind of patience, add it to your faith. And see how high you're getting now? You're getting way up here now, all right? The clock hand is getting way around too, isn't it? That's it is too now, because we need to go. Add this to your faith. We'll start right there. We may finish faith next Sunday. We may not. I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm going to say until. Lord bless you. Patience. That's right, sister. Patience.